If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Coming up a year ago, we spoke to Trevor Newbrook, who is the chairman of Restore Rotorua, and our conversation back in, it would have been late April last year, was about the serious problems with emergency housing. Basically, the motels were being filled up with emergency housing recipients, many from out of town, and that had had an impact, obviously, on the tourism industry. Well, COVID had that impact, and then following COVID, the motels being used for the emergency housing accommodation, and of course, the clawing back into the tourism industry and getting Rotorua back to its normal self was always going to be an issue. We thought we would get an update on this from Carolyn Hall, who is the deputy chair of Restore Rotorua. Carolyn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for inviting us. Sorry Trevor couldn't be here, but hopefully I'll the job justice.
Now, I remember that conversation about a year ago, and it seemed like quite a bleak situation back then. How is it now?
Yeah, that's a big question. I would look, Paul, I'm going to do a huge plug here for our tourism industry that has clawed it. You used the right word. They've clawed their way back and are still clawing their way back. Not just the tourism industry, hospitality, all our local businesses, all our local iwi stakeholders in the industry, they are trying their utmost to overcome the challenges that were thrown at them during COVID lockdown, during MIQ, during this whole emergency motel situation. So, you know, a huge plug to them. I think the numbers from tourism are showing that it's on the up, but I don't think what I'm hearing or what I've been told is that they're not staying as long as we want them to. And that, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for our tourists to stay a lot longer than a one-day stopover, you know, do a bit of mountain biking, do all the adventure stuff and then moving on. And that's not going to happen until someone puts a line in the sand and says, Rotorua's borders are closed for emergency housing.
Right. Are the motels still, well, obviously they're still being used for that function, but are more people still coming into Rotorua or is it dissipating back slowly? How's it working?
Look, my take on it, I'm a resident, long-term resident ratepayer. Yeah, okay, we've taken down the number of motels, apparently, by the council. They have taken out the numbers have come down of the motels that are being used. But if you look at this dashboard thing that Ministry of Housing and MSD put up, are the numbers really changing or are they just shifting? You know, I quickly pulled off January 2024, adults in temporary housing in Rotorua, 297. And then in February 2024, adults in temporary housing in Rotorua, 300.
Okay, so it's kind of trended up in that short period anyway.
Nothing's changing. I think what we're concerned about is the number of singles that are being brought into the town.
Yeah.
Singles without children.
Right. Is there a gender bias or skew there? Is it more men than women? Or?
If I have to say, maybe. Now, if you walk down Rotorua Central City now, which I think has where the shift has moved to, especially into our backpackers, and I know that our tourism operators are trying hard to get those backpackers back to the purpose that which they operate through. They were filled up with a lot of single, I would say, males, not always, you know, but mainly males and varying ages. I would say quite young, 20, right up to quite older, maybe even 60. And, you know, presenting poor with some really concerning issues.
What do you mean, mental health issues?
Yeah, definitely. Mental health. I would say addiction. I would say aggressive behaviour in some respects, you know, still vagrant, a lot of them, still wanting to sleep on the streets. And what I'm trying to say, Paul, is it's not it's not better for the residents on the ground. It's better for our tourism and that's taken off. But actually, we want our central city to be a place that people can go to and feel safe and happy and walk around without being hurt or abused or people begging, you know. And as much as you can say that's happening all around New Zealand.
Well, it kind of is in the more main centres, yeah.
Let's look at Rotorua. It's a population of 78,000. And if you compare that to the biggest cities, Tauranga, Hamilton, Auckland, Wellington, where it's happening, you know, our central city is a small focus. So you get people focused into a small area, it's not a good look. That's my take on it.
So the motel owners, are they part of this, I'll say problem, but I guess they go where the money is, and if there's a lack of tourists, they've got to fill it up somehow. And if the government's going to pay, their checks don't bounce. So
yeah, I guess
they're in. But also, they've got to think about the future of Rotorua as well, don't they?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, I would hope that the moteliers. Look, I think they could go back to the purpose in which they should have been operating under now, because we are getting the numbers back. You know, like, we want our tourists to be staying in quality accommodation for longer than they are, so that they spend money in our city, you know, not on the fringes of it. But we need quality accommodation. We don't want mixed accommodation where you're staying with people that are emergency housing and domestic or international tourism. I mean, I don't know that that's a good look either.
Well, it's not great for the visitors to be confronted with aggressive people who've obviously got problems.
Yep.
And create a certain feeling in the town.
They don't want that, right? I don't think any town wants that, but I think Rotorua specifically has been targeted. I would say that. It was targeted by the previous government. The money was a great hook in.
Targeted because there were motels there. Is that why they were targeted?
So. We had the greater number of motels and the greater number of people that are pretty happy to take the money. And we're not blaming them for that, Paul. You know, I know you're going to ask me, well, what do we want? And it's no different than what we've been asking for since day one. We want the borders to stop being opened up to anybody that can come with a supplement accommodation voucher. You know, let's deal with what you've given us. Don't keep putting our resourcing under pressure. We're a smaller city in terms of our population. We're under resourced with policing. I mean, they're crying out for help. Our medical GPs have been in the paper lately. They can't handle the influx anymore. Our teachers are beside themselves with the numbers of kids that are in schools that are requiring extra special help or needs. You know, you've got all our social service providers that just cannot sustain some of the issues that are constantly presenting in terms of mental health or addiction. So, like, you've given this to us, let us deal with what they've got, but close the borders. Like, just close the borders. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I'm no expert. Like I always say, I'm the dumb guy on the street, like most people, you know, not with intimate knowledge of how all this works, but surely you would know that if you're taking advantage of the vacuum that's left by COVID, i.e. no visitors and plenty of accommodation capacity, and you had this emergency housing issue, okay, it's a temporary fix. You could see how that could work. But you've got to be mindful, don't you, if you're a government, if you're a policy person, or you're with whatever ministry puts these plans into place, that Rotorua is built on tourism, and at some point it needs to get back to that. And this could be a disaster if it's not, I'm thinking what you'd have to think ahead.
Yeah.
At some point the problem has to be managed. You have to manage your way out of the problem. So there has to be a path through. So in the time that you have while this accommodation is available, you can build or create facilities that can take up that slack, or whatever you want to call it, in the appropriate part of the town or slightly out of the town. being cognizant of the rebuilding that would have to take place. It seems from this view that none of that thinking or planning was actually done. And I think it's hard to believe that you would be so loose about it.
I know. We are at a loss to think that there was no plan, Paul. Actually, there was no plan. And it made people look really good, like, okay, we're helping out people now. And it just turned into an almighty industry worth, well, costing the taxpayers literally millions of dollars. I mean, they will say that to you.
Hundreds of millions, probably.
Millions of dollars. So there has to be a line in the sand where, you know, this doesn't work anymore, but it's actually feeding an industry, and that industry isn't letting go very easily. That's what I'm trying to say. And it happens to be concentrated quite heavily in Rotorua because of the amount of accommodation we could have provided at that time. But we don't want I'm pretty sure our tourism industry doesn't want it. Our ratepayers, residents, long-term, mana whenua, they don't want that to continue. We understand, you know, this Goliath has taken off. We can't keep fighting that, but let us deal with what we've got. Let us deal with who you've brought in, but stop bringing in more. That's what we're saying. Stop the borders. And now, you know, National made some really big promises during their election, and they got elected here. So now we're holding them accountable and saying, you said you would stop it, stop it. You know, if a person is in Napier and they require emergency housing, they stay in Napier.
Yeah.
The accommodation. Now, they're saying that they've done that, but, you know, when your feet are on the ground walking the streets every day like we are, Paul, you see the changing faces. You see the change in families moving around or, you know, coming and going. So you see the faces in the middle of the city that are increasing that have never been there before. So we're not, you know, don't undermine us. We're not stupid. You know, the residents here aren't stupid people. We know what's happening.
What about local government there? Because they could pass bylaws, couldn't they?
Well, you know,
ending this at particular thresholds or time points, time stamps. Yeah. Why haven't they done that?
Yeah, I think, well, one, I think they've inherited a huge lemon from the previous council. I'm going to just say it. Right. Yeah. And I think they're doing the best they can to accommodate what's happened. I mean, the whole housing accord thing, I think our new mayor meant well by that, with hoping to try and get some accountability. I don't think it was transparent enough at the moment. I think it paid lip service to the residents to keep us quiet for a little bit longer. But I don't think it's made a difference. The bylaws, they have tried so hard to work with Ministry of Business and Innovation?
Oh, the Ministry of Everything.
Oh, God, that's like working with, I don't know, something out of the past.
Yeah,
they're not helpful at all, you know, trying to get bylaws passed in terms of our backpackers and,
But don't you have to be tough? Don't you have to say, look, central government, if this goes on beyond the next 90 days, I'm sorry, we're going to have to start making it difficult for motel owners who carry on with this. We're going to double their rates.
I agree with you, Paul, and I wish that would happen, and I hope it does happen. Whether they're just trying to play by the rules I think they're trying to play by the rules, and that's the trouble, isn't it, when you're tied into
when the others aren't playing by any sort of rules.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you, Paul. I think I would prefer that they started taking a harder stance, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I think there's been a few payoffs here from previous council promises.
Okay.
You know,
there was a Labor-led council before, wasn't there?
Of course there was. Yeah, I think there was a whole.
I forget the name of the mayor.
Stevie Chadwick.
Yeah, she was a Labor party politician, cabinet minister, etc.
Yeah, so I think there were some policies.
With a direct line, I would imagine, to who is the housing or who is the minister overseeing this?
Megan Wood.
Megan Wood. So she could have easily have said, Megan, we can't do this.
Of course she could have. And I think there were lots of promises made, and lots of money. I'm going to say it. I think, you know, the money was dangled in front of our council because of our infrastructure and a whole lot of other stuff that we required. So I think our new council is trying to fulfil some of those promises, but also do the right thing by the residents and ratepayers. I think they're between a rock and a hard place, but you're right. I think sometimes there's a point where you've got to say enough's enough.
Yeah. And surely the locals would support that, wouldn't they?
Oh, totally. I mean, how many times have we had locals out there protesting, not just us as Restore, you had the Save the Reserves, you had, you know, Three Waters, you had a whole thing going on, you know. The Rotorua residents haven't sat back and said, you can just do whatever you like to us. We've tried to put a stop on it, but it is David and Goliath, Paul. Come on, and we do get some pushback by going, oh, you're not the only ones in the country. But actually, you know, give us some credit. We've done our lion's share of trying to make sure we offer that manaaki out there. And actually, manaaki works both ways. You know, if you're going to receive it, you've got to respect it. And if you're not going to respect it, well, don't be here.
Well, in the end, they were only eyeing the number of motel rooms. That's all that mattered.
Of course they were, yeah. And I don't know that it's changing. I just think the numbers get fudged around a little bit, you know, like anything. We don't know. I would question how much input Ministry of Justice or the Corrections Department have got with this MSD, MHUD.
Because you're potentially putting people at risk here, aren't you?
Of course you are.
Because if you've got people with no, you know, idle hands, you don't want that. And people with problems who are bitter about whether, you know, their circumstances, how they've ended up there. That's a potential risk to residents. They didn't ask for it. The police surely knew that this would be a problem for them. Where were they? Did they say, hey, we can't do this. We can't police this.
Well, I think they've said it, but no one was listening to them. I think they said, I'm gonna acknowledge the police because I have seen them in action, and they are up against a brick wall sometimes between their own ministry or their own the government that was in power at the time.
I mean, they're woke management.
Well, let's hope that's changed, April.
I don't think it has yet.
Okay, let's keep our fingers crossed because I think. You know, I don't know, Paul. And then suddenly we had this massive boom on public housing, you know. And we all know public housing is required, but really? Come on.
But in the time, because we spoke to Trevor a year ago.
Yeah.
And the problem it happened before a year ago. We're going back, 2 years probably now for when it started. In that time, facilities can be created.
Of course they can. That's right. They can.
I mean, the Chinese can build a bridge in like a week.
Totally. And I've never seen so much public housing go up in such a short period of time. But you've got developers or you've got builders around here that can't get consents for all the stuff that they want to do. So, you know, KO have got their own consenting process. Hello. I mean, you know, what about us trying to do our thing? What about these hardworking families with two incomes that can't afford to buy a house? Who's looking after them? You know?
Good point.
There's lots of people out there that are trying their best to earn a decent living and a good living and look after their kids and provide what they can. But honestly, no one's looking out for them. We need all types of housing in this town, not just public housing. And then they talk about, this is a point that I thought about the other day. Kids in motels. There was a whole question around kids living in motels next to all sorts of different types of cohorts, you know? What I'm talking about. But then if you look at the two-story high-density apartment-type situations they're building in this town, is that any different from putting a child into a motel?
Not really.
No. So actually you're just moving them from a motel to the same type of scenario, aren't you? It's no different. You don't know who's going to be next to you. You don't know who's going into these apartments.
It's not very well thought out. There's plenty of land around there too, isn't there?
Oh, course there is. And you know, there was a question put to Kind Water about where were they trying to, there were a lot of local residents asking for their state homes or private public homes to be, renovated and updated. Yeah, no, we'll just build new and we'll bring other people in and you can wait in the wings until we can get round to you.
How long, just to sum up, how long do you think Rotorua has to get back to some kind of normal to at least bring the business of tourism back to what we sort of know of Rotorua?
We asked under those submissions and under the accord that I think they gave it 2 years. Now, my understanding is all these contracted motels should be making progress to get these people out and into housing by the end of 2024. I think that's my understanding.
Okay. Under the accord, still a way off, but okay.
Well, yeah, so, you know, what, 9 months maybe?
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is if we did that, if we cleared out our motels and our backpackers, then I think we'll see people starting to come back and use those facilities and we get that vibe back. But we also need to, I've lost my train of thought, sorry.
To get the vibe back. What you've got to do, I guess, is once that's done is you've got to somehow market the fact
that,
like, we're back to normal. It's business as usual. Come on back. Stay some time. That sort of thing.
Yeah. And I know with these interviews, Paul, we don't want to ditch Rotorua because we actually still really want our tourists to say this is a good place to come to.
Yeah.
What we want is for them to stay longer in good accommodation for the purpose it was operating under. You know what I mean? That we want them to stay longer. And we want our motels back to what they should be and our backpackers. Backpackers is a big tourist puller for these young people that are starting to, you know, earn money and go off around the world and end up in New Zealand. I don't know, Paul. I just think we need to, like I say, close the borders. Come on, National. You made some promises. Close the border, sink the lid, and let us get back to what we know best, and that's tourism. And there's a whole lot of employment around that, which, you know, they talk about unemployment. Well, actually, there's a whole lot of employment in the tourism industry if people would just pick up that mantle and run with it.
All right. It was good to get that update. If any politician or anyone with any ability to pull a lever to make things happen, I suppose it's pretty obvious what the message is. If people want to find out more about Restore Rotorua, where can they go?
We do have a Facebook page, Paul. Mm-hmm. It's under Restore Rotorua, and it's a Facebook page, so they can do that. You can email Restore Rotorua. We've got quite a few members, so, you know, it's more we keep them in touch. We hear the stories because, you know, stories on the ground. You know, you can call perception, everyone can call something a perception of, but when you have stories on the ground telling you what's happened to them every day or every week, then it's not perception, it's true.
It's reality, yeah.
Yeah, and we want to get our housing prices back up there, despite what people say, and we want to get our motels and hotels back up to, you know, we want to help our tourism operators get back to where they were, and they're getting there. They are getting there, but they're not helping if they don't close these borders of Rotorua as being the, you know, ground for New Zealand.
Okay, Carolyn Hall, Deputy Chair, Restore Rotorua, thanks for coming back on. It's good to get an update on that.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the invitation, and I hope we can get some movement from our government this year, and good luck with going forward.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.